Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio at Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by Kat Popiel, co-founder of the international food and culture magazine On Plate, Still Hungry. Kat, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Did I pronounce your last name correct? Because I always think of Ron Popiel.
Yeah, I only heard about Ron Popiel when I moved to the U.S. It's Popiel.
I'm sorry, but I just always think of delicious rotisserie chickens when I think of your last name.
It's okay.
Name,
the so. Accent kind of can be, it can be said in different ways. It's like Popiel.
Well, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
So describe what On Plate Still Hungry is and tell me about how this came about.
So On Plate Still Hungry is an online magazine about food, drink, and travel. We have an amazing range of contributors everywhere from Buenos Aires to Paris to Shanghai to New Orleans. and it started, I guess, almost 10 years ago when I first met Terrence. I was working at a record store in London off Carnaby Street called Deal Real, doing marketing, you know, running their in-store events. Terrence was writing for a bunch of different magazines, DJing. And then after that, I actually ended up working with a guy that was working at Nike. He was doing branding. We started promoting a bunch of events together. And, you know, when people came in from out of town, from, you know, Paris or New York or whatever, they were like, go and hang out with A-Side and Kat. They're doing an event, you know. And I was like, well, let's just get these people around a table. Let's go and have dinner at a restaurant. We can't, you know, catch up with them at a loud, noisy nightclub. So it ended up being me and A-Side, you know, hosting these dinners with amazing people from London and abroad. And I started coining it Eat Club. Fight Club had just come out and I didn't have anything better than the Eat Club. That was what we were doing. And then when, you know, Terrence and I kept bumping each other on the streets, you know, I eventually moved to New York and I kept sort of sharing this idea with him, and we really kind of resonated in the idea that creative people who love food, drink, and travel didn't really have anywhere to kind of congregate. And, you know, both of us were traveling a lot, and every time we went to Seoul or Shanghai or wherever, people did a very similar thing, you know, go meet Joe in wherever. And so I thought, this is happening anyway. We just need to kind of encapsulate it in a space online where we can share stories and just be excited by other places and potentially be able to touch down in Shanghai and be like, hey, I read your column, like, take me out to eat, you know. So we had a lot of IM conversations, and here we are.
Tell people about Terrence. Who is Terrence? He can't be here today, sadly, because he's in London. Hi, Terrence.
Hi, Terrence. We miss you.
So, yeah, how do you guys know each other, and what is it that he's doing in London?
Yeah, so like I said, we just know each other from, like, London creative world, kept bumping into each other over time. We bonded over this idea of just culture, and he's an amazing writer. He's been much more stronger in journalism than I have. I'm much more of a marketing person. He writes for Dazed and Confused. He's run a lot of projects for them. He has his own music label called Earnest Endeavors. So both of us and all our creative endeavors just seem to fit really, really well. And he was just the right person to kind of do this with. We just have the same sort of sensibility and ethos of, like, what food should be. And, you know, when we were talking about kind of this idea of Eat Club and wanting to bring it online, you know, there was Bon Appetit and Saveur and, you know, all these, like, recipe blogs, but there wasn't anything in between. And we were sort of going to 10 different places. And so the fact that we kept talking about it, we were like, well, we should do something about it. So his editorial sensibility and my sort of branding, you know, marketing, you know, ended up, you know, meeting around a table, so to speak, and making it happen. So
describe the contributors. Where, you know, how are you finding these people? What kinds of folks are writing for you, and what kind of stories do they create?
Yeah, so all the people that are writing for us currently are filmmakers, DJs, jewelry designers, writers. The idea is that they're just really fun, great, creative people, and they live in these amazing cities. They might be locally from those cities, they might be foreigners, you know, in the case of Jellymon, a sort of British design agency who now have a lot of local, you know, staff in Shanghai, you know, they're kind of a bit of a mix. But the kind of stories they're coming up with are everything from food tours of their cities to very, very specific dishes or, you know, sort of underground, you know, venues or restaurants or bars. And it, not everyone's necessarily a journalist. The whole point is that they're just interesting and exciting and they have a voice. So whilst we have a great writer, you know, Kevin Gould, who's from London and he writes for The Guardian, we also have people that are just, you know, they're DJs, but they're just really good at expressing themselves. So
I want to get into the content of some of the, my favorite things that are on the site. There's an amazing post on where to eat in Moscow now. There is the iconic Kunef. I'm just one for one in butchering names today. It's a dish from the ancient town of Antioch that is neither Syria or Eastern Turkey. And then my, I'm totally biased, but my hometown favorite, the gas station tacos in Texas, yes, which is an amazing post as well. So, you know, tell me about some of your favorite highlights that are featured right now.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that Terrence and I always talked about was making sure that On Plate was very anthropological. We didn't want it to be a bunch of lists or restaurant reviews. We want it to be like really interesting gems, little stories that you would probably just share over a glass of wine or while you're having tapas. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that people, you know, if they're going to read a story a day from us, they take away a little bit of knowledge and a bit of insight. And, you know, not necessarily a tour guide, you know, Lonely Planet, you know, worth of historical facts, but just sort of get a sense of the place. And that would inspire you to go to that gas station in Austin, you know, and kind of explore a little bit more. So all the stories are very much about people's firsthand experiences and what they see and, you know, what they've heard and just kind of get that sense of, you know, adventure and exploration.
So, you know, there's a really amazing piece about this group called Bompas and Par.
Yes.
And it's a collaboration with Avant Garde. So can you tell me about that project and...
Yeah, we've known Bompas and Par for a while. A friend of mine had started working with the Avant Garde Diaries and had let me know that, you know, hey, you've told me about Bompas and Par and we're actually doing an event in London, you know. And the Avant Garde Diaries is a content platform that Mercedes-Benz had started. The idea being that they travel around the world to key creative cities and they find a local curator. So they went to Berlin and they went to LA. And in London, they'd pick Bompas and Par. So she was like, we need to get you involved somehow. Let's figure it out. And we thought, well, you know, they're doing this in an amazing event. Let's work in some kind of a content partnership to sort of build some more storytelling around, you know, who they are as food people in London, what's happening in the community, and sort of, you know, why this event is super amazing. So, you know, we worked together to create some portraits of local food people, from chefs to restaurateurs to writers, you know, put together a bunch of beautiful photography and created this sort of crazy, you know, hallucinogenic video, and just sort of help them tell the Bompas and Par story and you know, make sure that Avant Garde was like, you know, pushing more good stuff out there.
I was checking out one of their pieces online and it was, I believe you can sort of hire them to blow up your wedding cake or other right. bits of food. And
they're nuts. They're food wizards awesome. In the best way. They have so they're very much the kinds of people that, you know, have a great sense of humor and it really comes out in, you know, their jelly sculptures and insane installations.
I can't even imagine what that's like. So, you know, who do you think is reading On Plate Still Hungry? What kind of audience are you sort of gearing towards? And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much about like-minded people. I mean, people that are creative, you know, besides our friends and family who are maybe not necessarily creative, you know, people that are just interested in discovering something different. You know, we have a huge amount of respect for the bigger publications and the recipe blogs and everything else, but we just sort of hope that people come here and have this sort of little intimate conversation with an area of the world that they maybe don't know very much about. And we don't necessarily neglect the bigger cities like New York or, you know, Buenos Aires, etc., but, you know, wanting to uncover these sort of things off the beaten track. So anyone who's, you know, curious, I guess, with a sense of humor.
It's so beautiful too. And there's one of my favorite things that I watch over and over. I should probably just try to make it, is the video of, is it the Francesina?
Yeah, it's the sort of croque monsieur of Portugal. Yeah, it's basically a meat fest.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we actually have a couple of great videos that are being launched in the coming weeks, which I'm really excited to share. And yeah, this particular video just encapsulates everything that we are about in terms of food. You know, there's so many wonderful bits of moving, you know, image that we see out there. And very much like our sensibility on plate, we wanted to give them, give our readers a slice of something that they probably don't really, you know, hear about very much. And, you know, it is kind of shrouded in this sort of like beautiful cloud of, you know, I don't know, awesomeness. Our video producer, Carlos Carneros, is just so brilliant. We're coming out with another video about a salmon artisan in London, and actually another video with David Chang and Fergus Henderson from St. John's, which is probably one of my personal favorites. It's called In the Kitchen. In French, it's Coupe d'Oeil. And it's basically this 3-minute video of them collaborating at St. John's in London in this past summer. There's no music. It's just this sort of crazy ballet and noise of the kitchen. Sometimes it's super quiet when someone's sort of slicing up some mackerel, and other times it's pop, you know, banging pots and people shouting. And it was very important for us to you know, provide a range of visual storytelling and to remind people that, yes, food is great, but there is this whole thing that happens in the kitchen, and to be able to hear the natural, you know, sounds of what that is. And that, yeah, there's a whole other, like, theater going on back there, and you don't need us to comment on it. You don't need us to kind of write a whole hosted piece on what it means. You can just sort of go away with whatever you take from it. We hope to do more videos like that for sure.
Which is awesome, too, because I feel like, you know, there's so many amazing food videos out there now, but a lot of them seem like music videos a lot of the time. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I have a very weird sense of sleep. So I tend to sort of scour the internet and watch a lot of videos. And I'm a little bit overconfident in knowing that we've got something a little bit different. And sometimes we don't always have to put, you know, our stamp on, you know, this is what you should think it should be. You know, give people more of an opportunity to make what they will of it. That sense of discovery again.
Tell me about protein. This is another really amazing thing that I kind of, once I learned about you guys, I was checking it out, and sort of, it's so beautiful the way that it's laid out, and tell me about what it is. And
yeah, Protein is a creative agency that you know, Terrence has worked with for a really long time, and you know, I've consulted with, you know, here and there over the years. They do amazing work with a very specific audience across the world, definitely a sort of more young audience. And in addition to their business, they have an ad sales network that very much helps niche publishers to get themselves out there. So it's everything from display advertising to, you know, helping them get in front of the eyes of the right brands. And so they have a variety of verticals, everything from fashion to design to film. So they were really interested in helping our magazine come to life. And they were like, well, we love what you do, you know, come and represent our food vertical. So they've been amazing at helping us sort of grow as publishers and supporting the build of our site. And yeah, they have a gallery space in London, and everybody in the team is like a family. So, you know, it was the right home for us, basically.
There's a really cool video on there about an artist with blood sausage that kind of blew my mind. And I have fallen down the rabbit hole and seen everything.
I don't even like blood sausage, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I'm probably like one of the few British people that don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, actually. I'm not a fan either. But when do you eat blood sausage? Is that like, well, a breakfast thing?
I think my mother ruined me because my mom's Filipino. I'm half Polish, half Filipino. And there's a Filipino dish called dinuguan. It's a blood stew, I guess. And when I was a child, my mother was like, you know, trying to make sure I try all the dishes of my culture. And she was like, it's chocolate soup. And of course, you're like six. You're like, this is amazing. And then you dig in there and you're like, that ain't no chocolate. So I feel like anything that's blood related in that sense, I'm like, don't
want
to know.
But what does that taste like?
Like metal.
Yeah, that's intense.
But yeah, blood sausage traditionally is part of sort of the big breakfast. You know, you'll have a little few slabs on the side. The Australians and New Zealanders do it too.
So. When you're really hungover.
I've never done it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could. Well, I've heard it's delicious. I've tried it a couple of times.
Yeah, no hating on people that love blood sausage.
Yeah, it's a delicious thing.
Each to their own.
I love blood. I love keeping blood inside of my body more. But regardless, we're going to take a really, really quick break. But when we get back, more from On Plate, Still Hungry. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
Heritage Radio Network.org. man, Joe. Your computer is so slow, I can't even use this thing.
Yeah, I should probably get a new one. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, totally, man. You should go to TechServe.
Okay, what's so good about TechServe?
Well, they've got this awesome new insider program that's free when you get a new Mac with AppleCare. So you should buy your computer there because you get 50% off data transfer, free loaner computers, front-of-the-line repair privileges, an annual Mac tune-up service, backup consultation and setup, seminars, and much more.
Okay, yeah, where's TechServe?
It's at 119 West 23rd Street in New York City. They're New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, and you should totally check out TechServe.com for more information.
All right, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Kat Popiel, or as we say in America, Popiel, like Ron Popiel, the delicious rotisserie genius. And she's the co-founder of the amazing magazine On Plate Still Hungry. And yeah, for listeners out there who are on your computers, immediately go to onplatestillhungry.com and see what I'm talking about. And, you know, you're a native Londoner,
yes.
And you also are a New Yorker now. And I want to know your thoughts on New York versus London in the food and culture world and your take, because, yeah, I don't know. I've been to London, amazing city, but give me the rundown on where, if I have 48 hours in London, what do
Ooh,
I do?
That's a hard question. You know, I grew up moving around the world. I lived in Botswana and Zimbabwe and Pakistan and crazy places. And I finally moved to London and I was like, this is going to be brilliant. You know, I moved, you know, in time for university. And, you know, at that time, Britain was still undergoing this horrible experience of being known as the country with terrible food. And it was hard for me because I'd moved around the world to these, you know, somewhat crazy places. But, you know, I'd eaten a range of cuisines because it was a very international sort of setting. And you'd go to friends' houses and they'd be from Oman and you tried Omani food or Ethiopian food, etc. And you get to London and it's pretty much sort of weird British food and then like Indian food, which is delicious. And then Thai food became a very big trend. And the last 5 or 6 years, actually since I moved to New York, there's been this resurgence of amazing food. Actually, I definitely want to like give Fergus Henderson a little bit of a, you know, nod to the hat that, you know, he was sort of responsible for that real shift. I think, you know, in London, if you want to eat somewhere, it has to be his restaurant. You have to go to a fish and chip joint. When I lived in London's Hackney, there was a really grotty pub called the Seabright, which is now super, super fancy. And well, not fancy, but, you know, more hipster. And there's this amazing Sunday roast, you know, surrounded by EastEnders that were kind of like salt of the earth folk. Probably a little bit hungover, maybe haven't slept the night before, but, you know, real EastEnders. So a British roast is necessary. The Hawksmoor does a great sort of, sort of steak dinner too. A place that I only went to this past summer was Tayeb's, this Indian restaurant, a restaurant we actually profiled in the Avant-Garde Diaries. That restaurant has been there for 30 years. It's a Pakistani family. It started out as a tiny cafe that just served bread and tea, you know, to all the hospitals and, you know, army folk nearby. And the man who ran it, who still is part of the business today, would make curries at lunchtime. And, you know, in would come all these folks just getting the bread and tea and being like, that smells amazing. A lot of local Bangladeshis and, you know, South Asians to the neighborhood. And he eventually expanded it to become a restaurant. And I had an opportunity to meet with the brothers that run the restaurant and find out that they've had the same menu for 30 years, which for me blows my mind.
That's impressive.
I mean, the number of places you go to where they're like, let's pivot, let's do something different. And they're just like, listen, we do amazing stuff. We're just going to keep on doing it. We're never going to change it. So, those are a few places that are special in London. I mean, New York overwhelmed me when I moved here, to be honest. So many places, so many cuisines in you know, subway right away. So
what are some of your favorite spots in New York that you're tried and true places you go?
When I first moved to Greenpoint, I went to Five Leaves all the time. I mean, at that time, there was actually nothing around. And, you know, it's run by New Zealanders, and it was great to have sort of a little bit of British fare. Their ricotta pancakes were amazing. I love trying to venture up to Queens. I don't do it quite as much. You know, I definitely try and go out to have some Filipino food up in Woodside. I love Tita Rad's, which is super, like, home cooking. Yeah, you know, I... Gosh, there's so many places. I think that's sort of the problem with New York. I'm trying to cook more, so...
That's awesome. It's totally the best time of year too, because it's getting cold and
yeah. I've been going to the farmer's market. My mission is I have to cook everything that I've bought from the week before.
Well, so, you know, you're such a jet setter, and I want to know, you know, some of your favorite places in the world that you've been and places that you think people should go.
Wow, that's really hard. I mean, I have a great love for Southeast Asia. I definitely haven't been back there for a while. The Philippines, again, biased, but, you know, Palawan is a very, very beautiful part of the world. The Philippines has over 7,000 islands, and Palawan is sort of the kind of untouched part of the country. They're not really a country renowned for conservation acts, but this particular area that has beautiful coral is definitely, you know, a place that's being protected. I actually first learned how to scuba dive there, and even though I'm sort of from a family of Catholics, I never felt quite religious until I come out of that boat and I was like, wow, it's like Finding Nemo times 1,000, you know, so I definitely send you off there. I actually got to visit Krakow, a city in Poland, just before I came to New York. And it just feels like, you know, you're in sort of some old time novels. Super beautiful, old cobble streets. A lot of moody Polish people, but incredibly beautiful. and, you know, I love San Francisco and L.A. I would love to venture more across the south of the U.S. But Africa has a huge place in my heart. I grew up in Botswana and Zimbabwe, and I actually have much more vivid memories there on a daily basis than I do probably of most areas of my life. It's just an incredibly beautiful area of the world. So
wow. And tell me about, you know, growing up, what kinds of dishes were you eating?
Well, my parents both worked for the UN, so, you know, whilst my mom's Filipino, she didn't actually cook a lot of Filipino food. She had a lot of friends that were Italian or Indian or, you know, Brazilian that would come over, and so, you know, because she loved to cook, you know, I'd always be trying a lot of different kinds of things. And my mom loved hosting dinner parties and having sort of soirees, so there was always people in the house. It was always a very, very busy place. So, yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, my mom cooks up a mean curry, but sometimes cooks like awful, you know, steak and eggs, let's say, or terrible Filipino food, you know, so yeah, a bit of everything really.
Does your dad cook at all, or is he?
No, not really, no.
It's interesting. My dad is the same way. Well, when he cooks, it's kind of like, ooh, we try to keep him out of the kitchen because, yeah. Sorry, Dad, I hope you're not listening. I love you. So tell me about, you know, what's on the horizon for On Plate Still Hungry? What can we look forward to in the future of the...
Yeah, so when we launched in April, we actually launched in London with an exhibit called Something I Ate. You know, whilst we were waiting for On Plate to be built, I started collaborating with a friend here in New York called Sam Kim, who's a chef. And I wanted to take all those elements of On Plate and turn it into something experiential and sort of a proof of concept kind of scenario, and do something whilst the site was being built. And so it was a seasonal event series. We did it four times in a year, duh, obviously. And then our fifth one is in London at the launch. And then quick premise was, you know, five creatives chronicle what you eat for 7 days. The end, create an exclusive art piece for us. And Sam would cook up a great feast. And, you know, we'd exhibit the work and have a great DJ and drink delicious cocktails and eat. So we launched in May in London, but it was sort of a soft launch. Like, we've never put out a press release or really pushed it so much. So this November really marks sort of our big launch. You know, we've got a bunch of videos that we're launching. We're actually introducing a premium video series for them on YouTube and some on Vimeo, and just really kind of pushing the magazine a lot more, and a few more brand collaborations here and there. But our main thing is we're actually wanting to do a couple more events. We're both, Terrence and I are big believers in sort of bringing together people around a room over food and drink. So, you know, making sure that that's part of our activities in this next year. So
when can we get Terrence on so we have a full round table?
I know, right? I know. Hopefully in the next few weeks. I mean, you know, he's super busy in London and, you know, we both travel a lot. So very soon.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, again, if you haven't seen it, it's onplatestillhungry.com. And what the Twitter is onplate?
It's onplatemag, yeah.
And again, I mean, there's really exceptional, beautiful photography. The content is amazing. And it's such a great thing because anywhere you go in the world, you know, if I head to Korea or Brazil, you can instantly find a super fascinating person in that city, and you should email them and find out.
Yeah, and no, yeah. I mean, if there's anyone around the world that wants to get involved, call us, email us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's an inspiring thing that you're doing, because I think that in this digital age, it's so interconnected and amazing to see all these really cool people around the world. So my hat's off to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to be here.
And, as always, many thanks to Joe Galarraga, Jack Inslee.
Thanks, Joe.
And, you know, Roberta's, we love you very much. And Heritage Radio Network, we love you even more. Well, equally. And I'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.